Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
The number for you, if you want to do that, is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria. Sorry to disappoint everyone for not taking the night off. I felt like it was important to be here.
That doesn't disappoint me.
But obviously, I would hope that the two of you are not disappointed. Yeah. I'm referring mostly to the trolls. However, you know. The show must go on.
The hateful, hateful trolls.
Indeed. So we are here on the eve of your sentencing, Aria. It's happening tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And I just want to give one last invitation to anybody who, if you're in the New England area and you can get up to Concord in New Hampshire, you can go to 55 Pleasant Street, which is the federal court building. Do not bring any cell phone device because they will not allow you in with that.
Should probably come with an ID. They may make you show ID.
Yeah, there's a stupid rule about
that. Yeah, as I understand it, the ID battle that was being fought has been lost, and they will not let you in now without any ID. Apparently, a judge has actually said you must have an ID, which actually kind of sucks because a friend of mine wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have an ID because of DUIs or whatever. He's got a paper ID, but it's unclear whether or not that's even going to be.
That'll probably be all right.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's not even trying to do, you know, disobedience or whatever. Yeah. He just legitimately doesn't have an ID.
I mean, people who come to this country and are immigrants and don't have an ID and can't get an ID should be able to go see a public trial.
Everyone should have a right to attend so-called public trials. Yeah, exactly. And I think that there is a case there.
It's not a trial, sorry, but whatever.
I think there is a case there. It's just that it's going to take a lawsuit, you know, to fight it. And
I think
the average person who doesn't have ID probably doesn't have the money to hire an attorney.
Well, one person we know may be trying to do a, you know, what's the kind of suit where other people can join in?
Class action suit?
Yeah.
You still have to have an attorney.
I would join in.
I mean, unless you really know your stuff.
I mean, you're going to win.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
I think you're definitely going to win.
If you think you can win, then maybe an attorney will feel the same way.
That's why I brought
it up. Case pro...
pro se. Or not pro se.
Well, it could be pro bono, or it could be based on contingency where the attorney would get paid on the back end, in that if he wins, then the state would have to pay the losing party, which in this case would be the federal government, or the court system would have to pay for the attorney's fees. So in theory, a lawyer could get a payday on a case like that. It just depends on if you can find one that's got the time they're willing to spend on it. So if you are coming tomorrow morning, be there, you know, just before 10, because that's when things will start. And this judge can be pretty generally on time, usually no more than a few minutes late. So try to be there, you know, punctually and get a seat. Because who knows? There may be a lot of people showing up to this. It got some newspaper coverage today. You know that the feds are going to try to pack their side of the courtroom.
Do you think so?
Well, I think they will.
I don't know. It feels to me, I mean, there's no way to know who's there who's there on my behalf and against me, right?
Well, I know who some of the feds are.
I don't think that really helps them to pack the court. The judge will know who they are. I think that when people show up on that side and pack the court.
If they're in the seats, then it's fewer supporters that can be in there.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so screwed up, man.
Yeah.
They wouldn't actually. They're not that evil, are
there
they?
There was like a homeschool. I mean, not homeschool. There was a public school field trip at Ian's on the first day. That was so weird.
Was it the first day?
Maybe not the first day,
it was
but
in there.
One of the first days.
They're not supposed to be so invested in what they want for the sentence to be that they would actually like pack out a courtroom, would they?
They seem to be really interested in watching what happens to the people that they go after. I think it's some sort of...
That's so strange,
I don't know,
to me.
What it is, right? About it. I think they, you know, they feel like... obviously, they've already quote-unquote won, right? Like,
yeah.
you took a plea deal, and you don't get to appeal that. So, I mean, it's... does it? Why does it matter then? Whether it's 37 months or three months or 3 days or time served, why does it matter them? I think they want. There's something that some of them, maybe not all of them, but some of them probably really like the idea of someone going to prison, like it gets them off or whatever.
I've been trying to, you know, I've been pondering that as well, because there's a lot has been happening in my case pretty much every day for the last week or so. There's been a major filing every single day, and I've been reading them very closely, and I don't understand what would motivate a person to say, hey, this person should be punished with the maximum amount of severity, right? I don't understand that under any context, right? Like, my mother was murdered, was choked to death or beaten to death, and I don't have it in me to want the person who did that to be punished. I want them to feel contrite. I want them to not harm anyone else.
Right.
But punishment isn't necessary to achieve that. And I just don't understand approaching just life in general from this attitude of wanting retribution against other people, knowing that the retribution ultimately produces no good.
Especially when there isn't a victim. Like, there's obviously a victim in your mom's situation, your mom, and also, like, everyone who loved her. But in this situation, it's just like, I want to win and get paid. Like, I can't imagine.
Well, they get paid anyway, whether they win or lose, the feds.
Well, you know, they might be able to get different jobs if they have more wins or whatever. I don't know.
It feels like that's exactly what I've sort of concluded. I haven't really concluded anything, but I feel like, you know, they, like everyone else, they want to win. And to them, winning is putting me away from the maximum penalty.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you don't want to win a football game by 1 point, right? You want to win by 50 points.
Imagine if you were just not a good person and you never got the kind of like serotonin, I hate to break it down to something like that, that one gets when one is in the right morally. You never get that. You only get it when you destroy someone's life by lying about them being a bad person.
Right.
You try really hard
here to
get it.
I mean, let's be clear. These people have lied. The federal prosecutors in this case lied their way through this case. And that's one of the hardest parts about going through this is we know that we never intended to harm anyone. I mean, I think I can say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
True about you.
I'm a firm adherent of the non-aggression principle, and that includes, I mean, any manner of harm.
We, you know, believe that selling Bitcoin does not require a permit. I still believe that that is the case, and that's why we're going to be appealing. Me and my attorney are going to be appealing in my case all of the convictions, because I want to overturn the money transmission conviction. I want that to be case law, where at an appeals court, the appeals court says, well, this isn't money, and it's not transmitted, so not guilty. And then that will help anyone else who's in the Bitcoin world who ever gets charged with this non-crime of quote-unquote unlicensed money transmission. To me, that's like the most important aspect. I would like all the other charges to be dropped before sentencing, which in theory could still happen. That would be, to me, like, and I was telling the filmmakers at the Ballad of the Crypto 6 documentary, Ricardo's in town, he's doing some more shooting.
And he's going to be at the hearing tomorrow?
Yeah, and I was telling him this the other day, it's like, if I could have if this were, the most perfect outcome for me in this situation would be for the judge to grant the motion to dismiss every count except for the money transmitter charge. And in theory, he could still do that before my sentencing, which has now been pushed back to July 17th. Will he do that? I have no idea. But he could. There's a motion that's been in place since the end of the prosecution's case, where my attorneys basically said, look, motion to dismiss all 8 counts. The prosecution never proved their case.
Yeah, they're supposed to prove beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
And that just didn't happen. Everyone in the crowd who had been there the whole time, like me and Chris Weber, were like, wow, as far as how this should go, it's pretty open and shut. They're going to find him not guilty. But, of course, like human emotions and things like that badly cloud jury trials, and jury trials are just not the best system in the world, like people think. And they found him guilty anyway. But as far as actually proving beyond reasonable doubt, instead of just, hey, look at this. What if this was the case? Like, they didn't prove anything.
Right. So the ideal to me would be they drop all the other 7 charges. and keep going forward with the money transmitter charge. So that one is the one that gets appealed, and we can zero in on that one charge and get it overturned at the appeals court level. That would be like the perfect outcome for this insane situation. Whether that's going to transpire or not, I don't know. But you come first here, Ari, because your sentencing is tomorrow. And as I was saying, these prosecutors have lied about this. They essentially concocted this story in their heads that we had some sort of conspiracy, which you weren't convicted of.
Right.
But they're drawing out into their conviction sentencing memorandum and acting as though, even though you weren't convicted of it, they should still get to talk about what they would have said if you had gone to trial on that particular charge. And
well, my attorney and I have objected to that particular aspect of their memorandum.
Well, they're going to still drag it out tomorrow. They're going to still drag it. They're going to try to drag
it. It will still get brought out, yes.
They're going to put pictures up of old people that were victimized by online scammers. And they're going to suggest that you and I knew about this, even though we never did. And
I mean, obviously, that's not the case. It's horrific.
It's obvious to
that
us.
That it happened. But yeah. It's obvious to anyone who spends enough time thinking about it. Because if you've ever lost money at a bank, all you have to do is go to your bank and say, hey, you know, that wire transfer was fraudulent, or I was supposed to be buying a truck or whatever, and I never got my truck, or any of these frauds, any of the victims can go to the bank, and the bank will just reach in there and take that money and send it right back to the person. Mm-hmm. It's a net loss to knowingly sell, or to whether knowingly or not, it's a loss to sell cryptocurrency.
Well, you would lose the Bitcoin.
And the money.
To the alleged scammer, and then you'd lose the money back to the person who was their original victim, and then you become the victim.
Right, and it's obviously immoral to, you know, participate in fraud, but even putting aside the moral argument, it's terrible business.
Well, right, and the other point, and I think it was my attorney, Mark Sisti, who made this at trial, was like, how stupid would you, like, if we were actually willing to work with scam artists, which I wasn't willing to work with those people, we did everything we could to stop them, to identify them, to stop them in progress, get money back to people who had partially, you know, maybe lost it or whatever. So we have many instances of that on the record. None of that mattered to the jury either. But, you know, even if we were of a criminal mindset of wanting to help these online scam artists, why in the world, how stupid would we have to be to put our own names, our own bank accounts, out there to these people? Like to the victims themselves, so they could easily identify us to the police and the banks and things like that.
That's the reason the scammers' names are never known, right?
If you're a scammer or you're working with scammers, you probably want to keep yourself anonymous. Right, so it doesn't make any sense at all. And then I think you pointed out before, Bonnie, that the prosecutor Seth Aframe in his closing statement was talking about how smart
that
I am.
He would go back and forth. Like there were times when he was just like, oh, saying things that like implied that you were dumb, and then he'd also at the ending he was like, Ian Freeman is not a dumb person. Ian Freeman is a sophisticated, intelligent cyber criminal.
Well, which way is it, right? So like you can't have it both ways. You're either really intelligent, or you're really stupid, right? And so I think it would be a really stupid thing to do what they're saying that we did, which would be to actually work with scam artists, to try to attract scam artists. And that's really one of the most insulting things about this whole case, is that the suggestion is not that there's any evidence that we were working with scam artists, because there's not a shred of it.
That's been admitted.
Right. There's no shred of evidence that has ever been presented that you or I had knowingly worked with any scam artists. In fact, the contrary to that was presented. In my trial, we had a gentleman who is a college professor who came in and testified that I bent over backwards to get his mother $11,000 back because we stopped a scam in progress. We were able to, through our Know Your Customer requirements and security procedures, identify the scam as it happened, before the scammer got the Bitcoin, and that money was still in the bank, and the bank account closed the account, so it took weeks and weeks, because the money was frozen by the bank, for me to get this lady her money back, but I got it back to her. And so that was one example. There were other examples of how we did this. And So, like, the contrary was presented, the fact that we were working to identify people and show what was, you know, going on, let them know what was happening to them, try to identify scams in progress. So not a shred of evidence that we were working with a scammer at any point. And so basically all they had was, well, Ian Freeman and Ari DeMezzo said they respect people's privacy. So therefore, that means they wanted scam artists to come in. It's like, but on the other hand, they also showed the procedure that I put people through with the requirements and the photographs and the showing ID and all the things that they had to do in order to make the purchases of the Bitcoin. They showed that, too. So it was like, on one hand, they said we respected people's privacy. On the other hand, they showed that we actually did find out who we were dealing with. So, again, you can't have it both ways.
Well, as my attorney's filing for my sentencing memorandum shows, I do value the privacy aspect of cryptocurrency. To me, that's like one of the fundamental points of cryptocurrency, that allows you to keep your financial transactions private from the prying eyes of the government that has no business monitoring your transactions. So I do value people's privacy for that reason, and that's one of the reasons, as the filing points out, that I value cryptocurrency, mm-hmm. because it provides people that level of security and stability and safety from, let's face it, governments have not been very good stewards of the right to monitor people's financial transactions or to the right to control the money. Governments have always been prying. They've used money for evil, and they've inflated the currency, and they robbed us blind the entire time.
And just so you know, everyone, privacy is still not a crime.
Well, it shouldn't be a crime, but they basically made it into a crime because that's literally all they had, besides intimating that simply. So there was, that was one point, was, oh, God, they support privacy. That means they want to do business with criminals, which is absurd.
It is. Like, closing my curtains in my bedroom doesn't mean I want to engage in illegal sex. It just means I don't want the whole world watching. That's a reasonable, rational thing for a person to want.
And the only other thing they had was, well, just look at the age of these buyers. They should have known that they were being victimized simply because they're elderly.
And they clicked on, you know, like a folder with, like, they clicked on like 10 people and showed people that were in the age range from like in their 50s to older. Yeah. I don't know exactly what the oldest
many
was.
Many of whom were younger than my attorney.
And then they went and, I mean, Ian's attorney pointed out, why did they skip over this person, and his name in this folder, and then pointed out that those, like, majority of the people in the folder were, like, in their 30s. There was even somebody who was, like, born the same year as me, so they were, like, 24 or whatever when they bought Bitcoin from you, and they then said, this person is extremely young, either too young
to buy Bitcoin. Right. You can't do anything right.
I mean,
these people.
I've been clear my entire life that people need to get money away from the USD and into alternatives like gold, silver, and cryptocurrency. My family doesn't speak to me, but if any of them did, I would recommend take some of your savings, buy cryptocurrency, buy some gold, buy some silver, safeguard yourself against the inflation that we're seeing, record levels of inflation. The whole point of cryptocurrency and gold and silver is to protect people against that. So I would recommend that the elderly people out there acquire some cryptocurrency, and the younger people out there acquire. Everyone out there should acquire an alternative currency to protect themselves.
You don't just have security for your elderly ages by just following what the government says. Like, so many old people are, like, working now, and they're still getting Social Security, but they have to work because they don't have enough money. Mm-hmm. If they're putting that into Bitcoin, it's possible they could stretch it more. Not financial advice, but...
Yep.
That said, there is nothing worse than an old person attempting to acquire Bitcoin and ending up with useless promises or romance promises that never come to fruition.
It's terrible. But as you, I believe, pointed out, I don't know where it was, on air or off air, it's like, I didn't know about almost all of these people until I started going through the evidence in the trial.
Yeah.
There were a couple of exceptions to that I found out because they went back to their bank and demanded that their bank withdraw the funds from my bank, and then I, you know, learned more. And
in which case, I never dealt with those people again, right?
In some cases, I learned more from helping law enforcement actually give them whatever information I had about a specific case. So it's just like, there's just so much dishonesty. Like, and then that's, to me, the most frustrating part about it, to insult our churches, to act as though the Reformed Satanic Church isn't a real church when it absolutely is. That's your church, Arya.
Yep.
To act as though the Shire Free Church isn't a real church. I mean, we even had Muhammad come in to my trial, who is a gentleman that is here in the Keene area. He runs a business. He is active with the Muslims in this particular area. That Shire Free Church helped acquire a space to have meetings in, to have their Jummah, for instance, and he talked all about how Shire Free Church assisted with that, and yet they still continue to suggest that Shire Free Church and Reformed Satanic Church and are quote-unquote purported churches, and that we, you know, chose to do business with scam artists, and like, none of this stuff is true, what they are alleging.
And this is how desperate they are to twist anything into a bad thing. Ian's lawyer had a woman come in that showed that worked for the 100 Nights homeless shelter here in Keene, and showed that Ian's been through his church donating money to them for years, and then they like added it all up together, and they're like, altogether it's not that much considering how much he had access to. It's just he didn't give enough money to charity, so disregard that.
I don't know if, you know, I don't know if they're being dishonest in every regard or in any particular regard, but I think that in some cases they just haven't considered, like, there's no avenue for me, like, they, in their memorandum, the prosecutors mentioned, I'm not going to name the person, Mr. J, let's call him that. They mentioned Mr. J having lost, you know, several hundred thousand dollars to a scammer by buying Bitcoin from me. And
many times, by the way, not one shot, but over months.
But that aside, there's literally no way I could have known that.
Nope.
I wasn't there at the trial. That the prosecutors didn't email me to say, "Hey, Arya, this is something that happened." It's absolutely.
He didn't know at the time. He just seemed like a happy Bitcoin buyer,
and I didn't know
more
until I saw it in their memorandum.
Yep. So,
and I don't know if you pointed out, they were accusing you of not being sorry that he got...
Well, that's exactly it. I didn't know that happened. I literally didn't
know. Arya hasn't even shown remorse for this yet, and didn't know it happened until she was reading that.
I mean, they're not there monitoring me as I stay awake every single night. I've slept like 5 hours this week, right? They're not seeing me cry in the shower. They're not seeing any of this. They're not seeing me white-knuckling it every single day. And because they see this,
they'd probably like that, honestly.
They see this narrow little slice of my life that is my public appearances on Free Talk Live or on NBC or whatever.
Yep.
They don't see the 99% of my life that lives outside of these public appearances. Because I'm not going to break down into tears on air or on NBC, guys.
Yeah, and they don't want to see the 99% of the customers who were totally fine, completely legitimate, that had no issues whatsoever. None of those people matter. It's just the 1%. Of people that they've been able to, you know, show had some sort of issue.
Probably less than 1%.
The number here is 603-283-6160. But coming up, I want to talk about forgiveness. It's Free Talk Live.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is announcing a 3-day ceasefire in Sudan. Blinken said the Sudanese Armed Forces and the Rapid Support Forces came to the agreement to begin the ceasefire tonight at midnight. One person is dead, a second in custody after a shooting just outside of Oklahoma City. It happened at Rose State College, where Rich Wiedemeyer is a psychology professor.
We are all vulnerable to this. We can pretend we are not, but we all are, and we need to do something about it. We each have a different idea about what that might be, but we have to take action.
Police called the incident a domestic situation and have given the all clear for students and staff. Fewer than half of Americans say they would support an assault weapons ban. A new Monmouth University poll found that just 46% of respondents are in favor of a federal ban on the sale of assault weapons. It's down from 55% last June. John Schaefer, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Joining you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Bonnie.
And Aria.
Also, want to say thanks to Free Talk Live listeners and supporters of the show, including Paul, who is Gold Level Amps. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It is a way for you to get behind what we do here. Paul's doing gold, which is $10 a month, so we definitely appreciate that support. We only ask for $5. So thank you for doubling up there, Paul, over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. You can help us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. Get the message of liberty, freedom, peace, cryptocurrency, alternatives to the violent government status quo, peaceful alternatives. We talk about that stuff 7 nights a week here on Free Talk Live. So join Paul over at amps.freetalklive.com. We definitely appreciate the support. So given, you know, what we're in the midst of right now, you and I, Aria, the rest of the Crypto Six have all already been sentenced. One of the six, these are six people who were arrested in March of 2021 in early morning pre-dawn raids that happened, coordinated. I think they all happened at the same time. And, you know, being held at gunpoint, homes broken into, just absolutely horrifying situation. You can go to thecrypto6.com if you want to learn more about it. There's some video from the raid on the studio here, from security cameras, and lots of background on the case, lots of information about what happened at my trial. But everybody else has been sentenced thus far, three people. They received relatively, you know, all things considered, light sentences. They, two of them did not have to go to jail at all. One, our co-host Nobody, was sentenced to time served. Sadly, he was wrongfully held for 6 months prior to being granted bail.
And even the judge agreed that it was wrongful incarceration.
Yep.
Unconstitutional.
But you can't undo it. So you just get the time served in that case, and then, you know, whatever kind of year. I think they got a year to 3 years of supervised release, basically.
I think so.
And tomorrow, the federal prosecutors want you to get 37 months, which is the maximum according to the sentencing guidelines, per the report issued by the probation department, for one charge, a felony count of unlicensed money transmission, basically is what the charge is. Essentially, that means you didn't get their permission slip to do quote-unquote money transmission. That's what you pled to, and that's what you're going to be sentenced on. However, you have virtually no criminal history.
Right. There's like this minor thing from when I was 17-ish.
Like a teenager, right?
Yeah.
So, like, nothing, essentially. And despite the fact that you have no criminal history, no violent record whatsoever, they're pushing for the maximum sentence on this. And it's just, like, the most insane thing. It's like, you know, watching the Ross Ulbricht situation over again to some extent, someone else who had no criminal history and no violent history whatsoever. They sent him to life for sent him to prison for two life sentences plus 40 years in order to quote unquote send a message to people who would run underground websites that allowed people to sell whatever they wanted to sell. Did underground websites stop happening after Ross Ulbricht was put in prison for two life sentences?
I'm assuming not.
No, they didn't. They kept going, and
but
they're still going.
But it's to deter people, Ian.
What's that?
It's to deter people,
That's what
Ian.
They say. That's what they keep saying. That's what they said in Aria's sentencing memorandum, is that this is to let everybody else know out there that if you sell Bitcoin without asking the federal government's permission, you can expect a hit squad coming into your house, holding you at gunpoint, putting you under bail conditions for 2 years where you can't even access the full internet, and then later pushing to put you in a prison cell for 37 months. That's what you can expect for not having the government permission slip. Oh, and what happens if you get the government permission slip? Well, we found out Mark Hopkins down in Texas, who hopefully will get on the show one of these days. I need to follow up with him about that. He'd agreed to do it, but I think he's still in the halfway house situation, so I don't know what his, you know, freedom situation is.
Does he get to go home to his family?
No, not yet.
Whoa.
That's the next step, right?
Okay, but that's just crazy. It's like...
So Mark Hopkins...
It is, but it allows you to spend part of your sentence in a halfway house instead of prison. So, I mean,
yeah,
it sounds crazy, but like... A three-year prison sentence in prison sucks, but a three-year prison sentence where 2.5 of it's in prison and the other 6 months is in a halfway house.
It's a little better.
Yeah,
it sounds better than jail. I'm just saying it's crazy. Yeah. It's like, oh, you're safe enough for society to go not be in a cage, but still we want you to be in this house, not with your family.
Yeah.
Like, that would be worse.
I don't understand. I thought the point of the halfway house was to allow someone to transition back into society, to not have to worry about paying their bills or their rent or whatever, to be able to find a job and, you know, get their feet back under themselves. But, like, in the case of Mark Hopkins, it doesn't seem like that would be necessary.
I'm sure he'd be happy to just go home.
Yeah.
But, no, that's not an option. So, anyway, he went ahead and got the permission slip because he knew that, you know, they could do something horrible. I'm sure he'd seen the news stories about other people selling Bitcoin online, being targeted by the feds and going to prison. So he's like, all right, I'll just go get the permission slip. So he did. And then he went to the Department of Banking in Texas, where he lives, and he said, hey, what do I need to do to get the permission slip here in Texas? And they said, don't worry about it. There is no permission slip here in Texas. You're good. So he's like, all right, great. I'll just go sell some Bitcoin online. I got all the permission that I need here from the government agencies. And the federal government arrested him, too. And you know what they charged him with? They charged him for not having the permission slip from Texas.
But Texas has no permission.
He never got to argue that because they threatened his wife.
Yep, that's right. And then
So they coerced him into taking a plea deal.
Right,
like, we'll go after your wife if you don't take this plea deal.
So, yeah, like, maybe he would have had a chance to go to court and possibly win. Of course, you know, with juries, you never know. But maybe he would have been able to argue that. I was like, well, hey, look, I talked to Texas, calling a Texas bureaucrat, bring the Texas bureaucrat on the stand, and they'll say, we don't have a license, we can't issue a license, so he didn't need one, have a nice day. And maybe that would have been case closed for him. But then the Fed said, oh, yeah, if you don't take the plea, we'll charge your wife, too. And, of course, they got a kid. And it's like,
so obviously they don't really care about going after everyone, or else they'd also just go after his wife, but they only use that as...
It's leverage.
Leverage. I mean, right. It's like the same thing with, like, Colleen. Like, they just arrested all your friends they possibly could, but they didn't want to arrest the old lady for... and then try to make it look like this old lady is scamming old ladies, because that'd be a little hard to do.
Well, they did arrest her, and I'm sure they wanted to.
I'm about to say they don't want to charge.
Yeah, they don't want to go through with the trial
to court.
In that case. So it's like, you can't win with these people. You know, like, even if you got their permission slip, they're still going to find something to charge you with. They're still going to find some sort of way to put leverage against you. If you're a Bitcoin seller at all in the United States, you're at risk.
Well, Kraken had all the permission slips. Coinbase has all the permission slips. They're
coming at them, too.
Yeah, it certainly has not helped them.
No, they're at least coming at them with civil charges, so only their businesses will be destroyed. The executives will probably not have to go and see the inside of prison cells, at least at this point. In that situation. But for those of us who are doing peer-to-peer, as they call it, Bitcoin sales, they got prison cells they want to throw us into, which can make forgiveness a tricky thing to do. But I saw this story pop up last week, and I thought, you know what, this would be a good one for an Aria and Bonnie night on the show. It is from the Washington Post, and surprise, surprise, there's a new study that shows that forgiving is actually good for your health. I know that you guys are not going to be shocked by this, but I think it's important to get this news out because a lot of people, I don't think, practice this. I think there's a lot of people in society around the world who hold a grudge, and that hurts you. It hurts you. It doesn't hurt the person you have a grudge against.
I mean, it does, and I don't like pushing Tool too much as like this, you know, ultra good band or whatever, but they have this song called The Grudge that is all about holding grudges. And one of the analogies they use is that it's a leaden anchor that sinks you and traps you in place. I don't remember the exact way they put it out. I have to look up the lyrics, but it's a beautiful song, and it's all about forgiveness and letting things go. And I've always, well, not always, but as long as I can remember, being an adult, I've been an advocate of forgiveness, because that's the only way to have closure. To go back to the example of my mother being murdered, right? Most people would be like, no, I want this man thrown in prison, right? Mm-hmm. To be punished. But that's not going to do my heart and my soul any good.
It won't fill any hole.
No. All that will do will increase the amount of wrongdoing in the world. It will commit, whether you think it's justified or not, it will cause this man to be held against his will in unpleasant circumstances. It just increases the amount of people being held against their will in unpleasant circumstances. What will make me better, though, is to forgive him for doing that. That will help me come to peace with it. Seeing him punished won't bring me any sort of peace. It would just weigh on my conscience, right? Like, because of me, this person is being punished, or this person is being treated badly. And I don't want that on my conscience. It's better to me to not punish the person, which would just make everything worse internally for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even better to go a step beyond that and outright forgive the person. That's the only way. Forgiveness is the only way for a victim to ever have closure in something that happened to them.
So here's a story from the Washington Post. Early in his career as a marriage counselor, psychologist Everett Worthington noticed that many couples were angry about perceived slights and real wrongs, and he realized they could make progress only if they forgave each other. Those insights prompted Worthington to embark on a decades-long academic career.
To be fair, these were, like, couples, and they were holding grudges against one another?
Yeah, upset about some piddly crap around the house or whatever, right?
That's such a toxic way to have a relationship. I mean, even you shouldn't even hold grudges against people you're not involved with, but, like, if you're in a partnership with someone, Jesus, let it go.
And knowing to wake up like that all the time.
Yeah.
So he embarked on a decades-long...
Sorry. It's just like, if you don't even find something like that worth forgiving, I guess it's different. He did say real wrongs. It could be like...
It could have been cheating.
Serious things like, I don't know, cheating. But if you really want to stay with that person, then you have to forgive them. And if you don't want to stay with that person, I don't understand why not just break up.
Indeed. Well, some people... That's a whole other question. So,
it's different if they, like, killed your dog.
He was studying the...
What?
Wouldn't you forgive them for that?
Sure.
So he was studying the science of forgiveness for decades now. While the act of forgiving is often discussed by faith communities, Worthington has found that a secular approach to forgiveness also can be a useful strategy in improving health. He and his colleagues recently completed a study conducted across 5 countries showing that when forgiveness is taught, practiced, and achieved, the result is better mental and overall well-being. Surprise! Worthington said, forgiveness can change relationship dynamics and prevent a lot of very costly things that happen in society.
I mean, I know people that just are so petty, like they would just not forgive silly little things. Like, I don't know, I can't think of like a good example. It would probably be awkward to bring it up on radio anyway, but there are some times where I'm like, tiffed with Ian for a little bit, and I literally can't think of an example because I don't hold them as grudges. We get over it very quickly. If somebody is living like that, like holding a, not forgiving for little things like that happen throughout the day that aren't big deals, I mean, they have underlying other issues they need to work on in their lives. So I'm sure that, maybe I should forgive. It's just like going to make their lives a whole lot better. They probably have like, you know, they're probably like clenching.
Yeah, they're not even considering.
Clenching their teeth or something.
Forgiveness, you know, like, isn't even a consideration for those
Well,
people,
it feels
right?
good for them, right? In
to
a
be angry,
in
you
a
mean?
Perverse kind of way. It
yeah,
feels
like a
good to hold
thing.
A grudge against someone or to be angry at someone instead of forgiving them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know why, but, you know, I feel it too, even though I'm an advocate for forgiveness. I know what that feeling is. I wouldn't be able to describe it, but I know it's
like righteous
it's
indignation.
There.
Like, yeah. He did this, and now I can be mad about it. But it's not really righteous if it's...
And it's unhealthy. It's unhealthy to harbor those emotions when you can instead harbor something like forgiveness and love and compassion.
Worthington said, there are injustices we experience every day. People don't have to forgive. It's a choice that people may make or not make. He developed workbooks and included exercises and prompts that allow people to explore feelings of anger and resentment and learn to let go of them.
And that's really what this is. It's like people having the... emotional intelligence to be able to navigate feelings. I really can't relate to people who just, like, can't navigate their feelings. I tweeted about this today, whenever somebody tells me just, like, I have anxiety, like, it's not the same as somebody who tells me I have autism or something like that. I'm talking about somebody who, or a specific thing is happening to me and it's making me feel anxious. That's not the same thing either. But just these people who are like, throughout my life, I've always had anxiety. It's just like, I can't relate to that. It's like,
anxiety is an experience, not a condition.
And the thing is, like, if your whole life you've been feeling a negative feeling and you don't try to get to the root cause of it, I just don't understand, and we can't be friends. It's like, I don't understand. Like,
well, those kinds of people are the kind of people who they've given up their, let's call it the right term is onus of control. That is within you. Okay, so if you're feeling something, it is not the other's fault.
No,
what you're feeling. But these are people who believe that whether it's another person or their life circumstances or something that's happening in whatever time frame we're talking about here, that all these things are happening to me and I feel anxious or angry or whatever the feeling is about it, and they blame the other. They blame the other person, they blame the other thing, and that is them relinquishing any kind of control over themselves that they still could take and still have to something else, and putting the blame out there and saying, you're the reason I'm this way. This is the reason I'm this way.
And it feels so much better to be told by a doctor, like, there is no way that you can help yourself. It's all because your brain was born incorrectly.
You just need to take this pill.
You need to take this pill because you don't have any work in front of you. You are not at fault in any way, and it's everyone else's fault. It just would feel so much better to these people to hear that than to hear somebody say, I don't think you actually have anxiety.
And I'm sure listeners out there think, oh, those people who blame their problems on others, they're so messed up. But no, it's almost everyone I've ever met. Almost being the key word here, obviously. Think about how many times you said, oh, you make me so angry, or he frustrates me so much. That's blaming others for your emotional feelings.
Right.
And that's the root of all of this. He didn't make you angry. You experienced anger as a reaction to something that he did, But you're the one who controls your emotions, and you're the one who controls what your emotions cause you to do. If you punch a hole in a wall, that dude didn't make you angry enough to punch a hole in the wall. You made yourself angry as a response to something he did, and you lost control of that anger and punched a hole in the wall. Says real. That's your you were out of line there on every single step.
We've been doing some guided sleep meditations recently. There's a app online that I've been enjoying a lot. It's called Down Dog. I like to recommend it to anybody that enjoys yoga or home workouts or is looking to get into doing home workouts. They have a series of apps. It's not a sponsor or anything like that. It's a paid app. They'll let you do like 15 days free so you can see what it's like. But they have several different apps. There's one for high intensity training that you can do like home workouts. There's another yoga app. There's another meditation app. There's a bar app. There's a few different apps that they have. And the meditation app has a sleep meditation. They like to, there's always like some sort of wise quote in the sleep meditation. Yeah,
that.
She doesn't make it to the wise quote.
Is this like a yoga nidra kind of thing?
That's actually in the yoga app, but yes, that's a different kind of guided sleep meditation. So they have that too. But the quote last night was about feelings, you know, emotions that come up, and I don't remember the guru or whatever who they were quoting, but the quote was, let it come, let it be, let it go. The idea being that whatever that feeling is, whatever that emotion is that's going to come, it will go. If it's anger, if it's, you know, frustration, if it's, you know, irritation, whatever it is that you don't want to continue, you don't have to. You can just let it go eventually. Just notice it, right? Oh, there it is. There's some anger. Okay. And then you can just let it go. You have to be aware of what you're feeling, though.
And, you know, we're not advocating that people should not feel their emotions, right? If someone makes you angry, okay, feel that. That's okay. Yeah. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to feel anger as a response to something.
It will happen.
Yeah.
It will happen.
And you have no control over that, nor should you have control over that. It's just something that happens. Experience it. Reflect on it. Mm-hmm. And then let it go.
And then you can get to the process of forgiveness.
Sure.
After that point.
If you're really, like, your brain is just broken and you feel anxiety all the time for no reason, I don't think it happens. I don't think it's a real condition. But if that is the case, then you should have a way of dealing with it immediately when you feel it pop up. If you can't identify your own feelings and change them within yourself or, you know, transmute them into something else, then you're a slave to the chemistry inside your brain, and that's just so...
You're your own victim.
Yep.
At that point.
And you feel like you're everyone else's.
If you want to comment on this, by the way, feel free. The number is 603-283-6160. Maybe you have put forgiveness to work in your life, and you've seen how it has helped you in your relationships. You want to tell your story, feel free. Again, the number is 603-283-6160. Let's continue, though, with this. So they did a study, right? It was across 5 countries. This is a big study showing that when forgiveness is taught, practiced and achieved, the result is better mental and overall well-being. He says...
That is the key, because wanting to forgive someone isn't enough. You have to actually successfully forgive them. And it's beyond me to step someone through that process, but it isn't automatic. Wanting to forgive someone isn't the same as forgiving them.
Well, apparently they've come up with a workbook. This is the next thing they talk about here. There's a workbook this doctor developed. And it has exercises and prompts that allow people to explore feelings of anger and resentment and learn to let go of them. It is available for free in 5 different languages and promises you can become a more forgiving person in about 2 hours and includes thought exercises to help explore specific transgressions and work through feelings of anger and resentment.
That sounds really, really helpful.
The website for this workbook is discoverforgiveness.org. And they put reach.discoverforgiveness.org in front of it. So maybe that's where you have to go. Yeah, okay, so Discover Forgiveness kind of takes you to a general Q&A about forgiveness. So if you want to get to the workbook itself, it is reach.discoverforgiveness.org. Haven't tried it yet.
But it sounds wonderful.
It sounds great. So, yeah, more people definitely need to discover forgiveness. So more about the study. And so they're going to include thought exercises to get through these feelings. It's based on the most effective exercises used in prior research and has been condensed to save time and make the program more accessible. The randomized study, which was conducted among 4,598 participants in Hong Kong, Indonesia, Ukraine, Colombia, and South Africa, asked half the participants to complete the workbook over a two-week period. And then the other half were allowed to try the workbook later. After 2 weeks, the study showed that the workbook had prompted forgiveness and shown a statistically meaningful reduction in depression and anxiety symptoms. Maybe that's one reason why people are so anxious.
Because they're not forgiving one another?
Mm-hmm. Among just,
or themselves?
Yeah, that's another important thing.
Oh, yeah, forgiving yourself is. But I was just going to say, or just like dealing with the emotion at all. Like if you're just like, when you feel something, anything, then that's going to be bad.
The research is being presented at Harvard University in an interdisciplinary conference on forgiveness. The study was published as a preprint timed with the conference and is under review for publication by a medical journal. Similar studies in the U.S. also show benefits. The findings have broad implications for public health, according to Tyler Vanderweel, a professor of epidemiology at the Chan School of Public Health. He said, I think the experience of being wronged is quite common. He's a co-author of the new research and organizer of the conference. He says, we've seen that this forgiveness workbook can be used to address forgiveness and improve mental health. If the resource is widely disseminated, the effects on population mental health could be substantial.
So basically what he's saying is we're waiting for the big pharma to get involved and make this workbook illegal.
I don't know if that's what he was saying.
Just kidding.
But
why do the workbook when you can take a pill and become numb?
Other researchers, led by Robert Enright, a professor of educational psychology at the University of Madison, has also focused on forgiveness for programs for young people. Their workbooks and teacher training programs have been shared with thousands of educators worldwide. Studies have shown that children who forgive do better academically and that overall forgiveness can result in lower blood pressure, better sleep, and less anxiety, among other things.
I would suggest that forgiveness is also only half of the equation here. The other half is humility and apologies, right?
Mm.
You should be quick to forgive, and you should be quick to apologize. Don't apologize for crap that isn't your fault, and don't go around saying, I'm sorry all the time. But when you do something wrong, no matter how minor it is, apologize for it. And forgive people for it when they do something wrong to you, no matter how minor it is. Apologize and forgive, and we might just make the world a better place.
And when there's like somebody who's not going to apologize to you, but you still feel bad about what they're doing, you just have to have a way to get past it. Like,
forgive them anyway.
Forgive them anyway. We're going into the break.
Worthington, the original doctor they were talking about here, turns out in his past, his mother was killed as well. And we'll talk about what happened to him and his journey with forgiveness. We learn more about this study, and your calls and thoughts are welcome on How to Forgive, 603-283-6160. You can join us here on Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com. Or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.